"What was the reason?" he asked. Her eyebrows drew together ever so slightly. "Pardon? Your reason for not wanting to go to Texas. What was it?" Her lips flattened, her nostrils pinched together. "It's not that I didn't want to go, but I didn't want to travel there for the reason that my brother suggested I should." She licked those lips that he suddenly had an insane urge to kiss. "Women are scarce," she continued. "He thought I would have better luck finding a husband. I know he means well." "It was insulting to think you can't compete." Her head jerked back slightly as though she was surprised by his conclusion. "I wouldn't go so far as to say it was insulting. A bit hurtful, perhaps. Mostly, it just irritates. I've had 6 seasons, and with each one, more well-meaning people are offering me advice on how to obtain love. Some of it is absolutely ridiculous."
"Such as?"
Her eyes twinkled. "Do you really want to know?" Strangely, he did.
"I might need it, as I'm getting up in years."
"Men needn't marry young. That's a burden foisted only on women, as though at a certain age we curdle. That I find insulting. But you don't want to hear my rant on that subject, I'm sure. As for what I can do in order to find love, hang a wishbone over the door to my bedchamber. Cook even provided the chicken bone when she offered that bit of tantalizing advice." He smiled. "It didn't work." She scowled at him. "I didn't hang it up. My lady's maid is always slipping a hand mirror beneath my pillow. Apparently it will cause my true love to be reflected in my dreams. But he's there anyway, so I always remove it when I discover it." There was that tightening in his gut again, that sense of jealousy he'd had earlier with Edward. "Who is he?" he heard himself asking, striving not to lock his back teeth together as he did. She shook her head. "He's not any one person, but more of an ideal. Kind, generous, charming, unrealistic. His breath is never foul, his body never odorous, his feet never stink." Ash chuckled.
"Very much like the women in my dreams. They never nag, they're never ill-tempered, and all they want to do is, well, let's just say they're quite biddable."
A deep pink blush crept up her face, and he made note of its journey. If he were ever to see her with a mask again, he would now know the hue that might appear beneath it, how quickly it travelled, how it disappeared into her hair. "I can't believe I told you all that," she said. "Spinsters are cautioned against drawing attention to their spinsterhood."
"You wear yours like a badge."
"I am realistic." She gave him a gamine smile. "Well, except in my dreams." It was with a measure of regret that he realized the music was fading. Their dance was coming to an end. He enjoyed talking with her. She didn't bore him. "Take a turn about the garden with me." She studied him as though she were searching for something. Was he moving too quickly? Was she going to deduce his motives? "Yes, all right," she finally said. "I can see no harm in that." If she didn't see the harm, then she didn't know men very well at all.